This morning's reading is taken from the book of Joshua, chapter 1, starting at verse 1. The book of Joshua, chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all those people, get ready to cross the river Jordan into the land I am about to give them, to the Israelites. I'll give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you in all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always in your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will go with you wherever you go. And this is the word of the Lord.
Whilst we were away this week at New Wine, we had a speaker one morning by the name of Ken Costa. And Ken Costa was a huge name in the city. He worked for many of the big financial corporations and the banks, and for many, many companies as well. He was what the city calls a rainmaker. He would come in to a failing company, and he'd get a grip of their finance, and he'd get a grip of their advertising campaign, and he would turn the company around. And he's made millions and millions and millions of pounds of profits for different companies over the years. But he's also a Christian. And one of the things that he's known for in the city and in business is being a man of integrity and honesty. And so it was no surprise to anybody when a few years ago he left the city, he gave up his very, very well-paid job, packed all that up in order to go and work for Alpha. And he now heads up Alpha as a business, as a charity, and he's responsible for the running of the Alpha course both here in this country and also overseas. And he was one of the speakers at New Wine last week, and he was telling us about another businessman, a quite unlikely businessman, a man by the name of Dr. Dre. Now, for those of you who are my age or older, this won't make much sense, but Dr. Dre is a stage name of a rap artist, of a DJ, and of a businessman. He was born in Compton in L.A., a very rough area of L.A., a lot of gangland violence and a lot of drugs and troubles on the street. He was born right into the heart of that, and fairly quickly his parents realized that he was getting involved in gangs, and as an African-American that he was really on a slippery slope, and so they moved out of that, and eventually he fetched up in New York where he started a music career. And one of the things he discovered, one of the things he spotted was there's a little gap in the market. And that was that people had fantastic music players nowadays. They had iPods and great telephones, they had MP3 players, but they were sticking these horrible little tinny earpieces in their ears to listen to them and ruining the effect of these great digital players. So he developed a brand of headphones called Beats, and I know they're really popular because my daughter wanted a pair, and they were about £500 for a pair of headphones. So she got a knocked-off pair in Turkey that lasted about 10 minutes before they broke. But he developed this brand of headphones called Beats. And just a couple of years ago, he sold that company to Apple for $3 billion. Not $3 million, $3 billion. This young black man from the streets of Compton in L.A., having moved to New York, sold part of his company, just the Beats part, for $3 billion. And to illustrate his talk and something he wanted to say, Ken Coster showed us a piece of film which Beats used this year at the World Cup as their advertising. It was originally a 5.5-minute commercial. Cost $24 million to make and to air. And it was the centerpiece of this huge company's advertising to be played at the opening of the World Cup. And he showed us the film, and we're going to see it ourselves in just a minute. What I've done, though, is I've edited it down because it was over 5 minutes initially. So I've edited it down to about half its length. And also, on the original version, which was to be shown, obviously, on big screen TVs and in cinemas, the subtitles were very, very small. And so what I've done is I've resubtitled it underneath as well. So just forgive me if the quality breaks down a little bit where I've done the editing and I've done the subtitling. But if we can show that film, this is the film that Ken Coster showed us.
Alô, oi filho, tudo bem?
E aí, cadê?
Tá feliz? Tá feliz, meu?
Tô. Claro que tô.
Hoje é um dia importante, como sempre foi na nossa vida.
Então, hoje, corra. Corra como se fosse o último dia da sua vida. Corra como fosse um cara louco atrás da felicidade. Corra pela sua família, pros seus amigos.
Vai naquela cena.
Seja feliz hoje, brinque de futebol. Ok? Tá bom? Mas tem uma coisa. É importante que você nos poupe.
The question Ken Coster asked was, can you imagine the meeting where the marketing people got together with the people from Beats and the people from Apples, and they were in a conference room, sat around the table, and they said, we've got this chance to put on an advert at the world's largest sporting event. We've got this chance to reach millions of people worldwide. We're going to spend $25 million on an advert. What shall we do? And one of the marketing guys turns to the guy from Apple and says, we're going to talk about God. We're going to put front and center a passage of scripture from Ephesians, and we're going to talk about God. We're going to finish the advert by saying, God bless you. And Ken Coster said, can you imagine any marketing meeting in the world 10 years ago or 15 years ago where that marketing executive wouldn't have been laughed out the room? And he said, but today, it's happening. And it's not just happening with Beats, it's happening with Coca-Cola, and it's happening with McDonald's in America, and it's happening with all sorts of other companies as well. God is back on the agenda. And Ken Gosser said something that we've been saying here for months. The atmosphere has changed. The spiritual atmosphere, not just in our land, but across the world, has changed. And we are stood on the edge of something that is different. That there's been a reversal in the tide. The tide that was going out on faith is starting to come back in. And it's an exciting time to be a person of faith. God is back on the agenda. Now, we're not on a level, we're not on the playing field alone. Other faiths are also speaking into that, let's discover God. The pagans and the New Agers and the Muslims and the Hindus, and everybody is speaking into this spirituality of people saying, show us God, there must be more to life than this. But we have an incredible opportunity at this time to share our faith. But I don't just like the idea that this advert shows that something is changing in our culture. That we're allowed to... You remember Tony Blair was told, we don't do God. Well, people do God now. Something is changing. But I didn't just like that idea, though I was very taken with that. I love the thought that God's back on the agenda. But I was also taken with the title of that advert and with the idea as these footballers, and in the full advert it goes on for much longer, as they put on their shin pads. As they put on their symbols around their necks, as they say their prayers, as they warm up, kicking a football against a room, stretching the muscles, the idea of the game before the game. I love this idea of preparation, of being ready for this huge thing that's about to happen. There's a time and a season of preparation and of getting ready in any big venture before going out onto to play on the pitch at this vast arena of the World Cup. There's years of preparation. And then in that last couple of hours, the psyching up, the getting ready, the getting the uniform on, the getting the armor on, the going out onto the field. There's the physical preparation. There's the practical preparation the strip, getting the colors on. And then there's the spiritual preparation. God, help me. Go with me. It all goes on before the kickoff to the game. And as we start a new series of sermons this morning, it's going to take us through the summer on Joshua. I want us to think about the game before the game spiritually as well. Here we are in this reading, in the game before the game for Joshua. He's just about to step out into something new, and he's in this season of preparation. Here we are at this tipping point in the story of Israel, this Kairos moment, this special time in the history of the people of God where everything is about to change. They stand at this make or break moment. Much as we, as the people of God in this land at this time, stand at this tipping point, at this make or break moment where the world is changing, where people's questions are changing. And the question is, are we going to step into it? As this season goes through a season of, I don't believe revival, but maybe of renewal, or even some people are talking about reformation, a change in the way the church thinks about what it does. We're in this season of the game before the game, the getting ready. As we move into this time of stopping being just a place of worship and what we've lamely called discipleship, and it has been lame, what we've called discipleship, which really is nothing more than preparing people to come to Sunday services. As we move away from that and into being a missional community, a missional people, we stand at the edge of the Jordan, at this Kairos moment in time, the game before the game. Joshua stood in chapter 1 at such a time in his story. For 40 years, the Jews had been wandering in the wilderness. A journey that should have taken them 3 days from Egypt to Israel had taken them 4 decades. But now, they're in that moment. the nervously putting on the armor, the greaves, the shin pads, the body armor, picking up the shield, the nervously getting ready for what's about to happen. And God says to Joshua into this moment, Moses, my servant, is dead. You can't look to him anymore. You can't go back to where you were. He's dead. There's no point in saying, oh, we wish we still had Moses. We wish we could still do what we've always done. That's gone. My servant Moses is dead. Now then, you lead them. You and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan into the land I'm about to give them. Get ready. Get into the game before the game. Start preparing for what's about to happen. Something new and exciting is on the agenda. This could be the greatest moment in their whole lives as they step out of the desert and into the Jordan River. This could be the tipping point, the fulcrum moment, the kairos moment of their whole history. Or it could be the world's greatest disaster as they cross into this land that they vaguely remember is inhabited with giants, with strong cities and mighty armies. This moment could be it. Last time they passed this way, they chickened out, because the report said that the challenge of entering Canaan was just too great. Fulfilling what God had called them to seemed too difficult, and so they turned back and wandered into a desert for 40 years. And now God has brought them back, and they're at this moment. Is this the start of something new? Or is this the beginning of the end and of decline? And that's the moment the church stands at. We are a generation away from extinction, or we're a generation away from revival. We stand on this knife edge. And here they are again, right on the edge of God's promise. And what's going to happen? How are they going to handle this challenge? And the first thing that God says to Joshua is, you've got to be strong. You've got to be courageous. You can't look at the giants. You can't remember the failures of the past. You can't turn around and go back to what's comfortable and what you know. It's time to step forward. But to do that, you've got to be strong. And you've got to be courageous. This is scary territory. This is the unknown. This is the place inhabited by giants. And it's really scary. And God says to Joshua, be strong and very courageous. Verse 3, every place you set your foot, I will give to you. Verse 5, no one will be able to stand against you. For as I was with Moses, so I am with you. Verse 5 again, and never will I leave you or forsake you. Verse 6, so be strong and courageous. Verse 7, be strong and courageous. Verse 9, haven't I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified. Don't be discouraged. Verse 18, Joshua commanded the Israelites, be strong and courageous. Do you get the message? They're to be strong and courageous. You sure? Be strong and courageous. When we step into the things God has called us to, whether we're Joshua all those hundreds of years ago or whether we're the church today, we've got to be strong and courageous, because when God asks us to step out, it will always be in faith. It will always be into things that we can't do by ourselves. It will always be into things that we're not ready for. And the word of God to us every time we step out is going to be strong and be very courageous. We live by faith and not by sight. And so often we're called to do the impossible. And it seems terrifying. Here we are today, 150 people, maybe a little more in this room. And we're called to change a nation. We're called to reach into the mouth of hell and rescue people and bring them to Jesus and show them life. We're taught to go to the oppressed and the prisoner and set them free. To go amongst the hungry and the drug addict and the drunk and bring them hope. We're called to go in the name of Jesus, and we can't do that by ourselves. It's too big. It's too scary. It's terrifying. And God says, be strong and be courageous. We don't want to do the things which might hurt us or cause us to fail. None of us want to step into something if we think we're going to fail. None of us want to step into stuff where we think we're going to look stupid. You know, I've been a pastor for 25 years, a Christian for 30 years, and I still hesitate every time I mention God to my mother or mention Jesus to my brother or sister, because I don't want to look stupid. I don't want to be rejected. I don't want to fail. And you're the same. I know you are. And God says to us, be courageous and be strong. I am with you. I'll never forsake you. As I was with Moses, so I am with you. Step into the promise. And yes, it's scary, but don't be terrified. If we are going to see change, if we are going to be the generation which sees the church of Jesus Christ restored in our land, we're going to need to be strong and courageous. We're going to need to go places the church has never gone before. We're going to have to do things the church has never done before. And it's going to be scary as we speak to people that maybe the church has never spoken to before. And it's scary. And God says, don't be afraid. Going off my notes slightly, one of the speakers that we had on the last day at New Wine was a Salvation Army officer called Danielle Strickland. And I think I've told this story before to some of you. But a previous New Wine, she's told a story about when she was working in Sydney, in a really rough area of Sydney. And one day, an old Baptist lady, a lady in her 80s, came to her and knocked on her door and said, Danielle, can I talk to you? And she said, yeah, what's the problem? She said, there's a brothel has opened up on the end of our street. And its telephone number is one digit different to mine. And I keep getting phone calls from men who are trying to get hold of the brothel, and they're phoning me instead. And I don't know what to do. There's all these girls, they're working in this house down the end of the road, and these men are calling, and I don't know what to do. And Danielle said, well, let's pray about it. So she brought her in, and they sat down, and they prayed. And then Danielle said, well, what would you normally do if you were having trouble with somebody? She said, I'd bake them a cake, and I'd go and talk to them. And Danielle said, well, that won't work. She said, well, why not? That's a pretty good idea. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go home, and I'm going to make a load of cakes, and I'm going to put them in a box. I'm going to go around to the brothel. I'm going to talk to them there. Tell them what the problem is and start talking to them. So Danielle said, well, I better come with you. She said, 80-year-old Baptist going into a brothel. So she went and she made the cakes, and Danielle picked her up the next morning. They went around to this house and they knocked on the door, and they got to the door, and the Baptist lady said to Danielle Strickland, I'm going to have to do this myself. I'm going in alone. So she stood outside and she walked up and down and she prayed and she interceded while this lady was in the house. And she said she was in there 5 minutes and 10 minutes and half an hour and an hour. And eventually she comes out. She's waving, she's laughing, she's saying goodbye. And Danielle said, how did that go? She said, it's great, I'm going back tomorrow. I'm going to go and talk to some of the girls and pray with them tomorrow. She said, Danielle said, she ran back to her office and she picked the phone up and she called her superintendent and said, we've got to get into the brothels. The Baptists are beating us there. We've got to go scary places. Places that we may never have gone before. We've got to go into our own homes where we've never spoken before the gospel. And it's scary. And Joshua says, and Jesus says to us, don't be afraid. When you go into work tomorrow, God is with you. He will not forsake you. When you go into the shops this week, God is with you. When you go into a coffee house, God is with you. When you hang out with friends, God is with you. When I get on the ferry to Dover tomorrow night, God is with me. When you go wherever you go this week, God is with you. So be courageous and very strong. Speak for him. Love for him. Act for him. And step out and take the land. And then secondly, God says, don't only be strong and courageous, but be ready. In verse 2, God says to Joshua, get ready to cross the Jordan into the land I'm about to give you. Be ready. Get yourself ready. And how were they to get themselves ready? Well, ensuring that they'd weeded out sin in their lives. That they were leading the lives that God had called them to. In verse 6, he says, be careful to obey the law that I gave to Moses. Do not turn away from it. Don't turn to the left or to the right. Be holy. In verse 8, he says, meditate on the word of God day and night. Let it always be on your lips. Read the word diligently. So every time you open your mouth, your words are words of scripture. And then do what it says. We had a speaker this week, an African lady, who preached a sermon for 40 minutes, and all she spoke was scripture. Verse after verse after verse. Her whole sentence, every time she spoke a sentence, you could hear the words of scripture woven into it. He says, put it on your mouth, eat it, let it be on your lips, and then do what it says. Get yourself spiritually ready. As you courageously go into the land God has given you, step out in faith, fulfilling your calling. And nothing will damage your testimony and your witness as quickly as sin will. When people know that the words you're speaking and the life you're living are different. This is why holiness is important for the people of God. That what we say we believe has to be shown in our lives. You cannot be wed to the world and be the bride of Christ. You have to make a choice. Later on, Joshua says to the people, choose for yourself today whom you will serve. Will you go after the world and what the world offers, or will you go after God and pursue him? But as for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. Later on, Joshua will tell the people to consecrate themselves for the task ahead. As we step into the land, in this game before the game, as we prepare for what God has, consecrate yourselves. Put the word of God deeply in you and live it out so that people might see Christ and be attracted. And then finally, and very quickly, there comes a point. There comes a point, and it comes a couple of chapters on, and we're going to look at it in a couple of weeks' time. But there comes a point where the game before the game has got to stop. And the game has got to start. There comes a point where putting the shin pads on and tying the boots and taping up the muscles and wetting the socks and all of the stuff that they do, there comes a point where that has to stop and they step onto the field. There comes a point where the consecration and the setting themselves apart has to stop and the people of God have to enter the promised land. And there comes a point where, as the Church of Jesus Christ, the getting ready has to come to an end and the conquest has to start. There was a moment where Joshua stopped looking across the Jordan and stepped into it. God says to Joshua in verse 11, time to break camp and gather up your goods, because in 3 days the conquest begins. He's saying to them, we've been waiting all these years. We've been getting ready for all this time, and now it starts. And there comes a point in the life of the church where we've got to say, it's time to start. It's time to stop talking about being missional and become missional. It's time to stop talking about evangelism and mission and hoping that the pastor and the Alpha team and one or two folk will take care of it for us. There comes a time where the game proper begins. There's got to come a time when we stop reading books on evangelism and start doing evangelism personally. There's got to come a time where we stop tweaking our churches, getting them just right for non-believers, and start going and getting non-believers. The game itself has got to start, and that day is now. now. You are it. There is no plan B for this nation. You are it. The people you speak to this week need Jesus, and you are their hope of hearing the gospel. We are it. There is no plan B. We've been waiting for all these years, planning, thinking, strategizing, changing. And now it's time to start. Here's the challenge. Do you want to be part of it? Do you want to be part of the great game? You know, it'd be great to go to a World Cup final, wouldn't it? Stand on the terraces and watch the great players. But how great would it be to play? You know, one of the reasons I think middle-aged, slightly overweight men all wear football shirts, replica football shirts, is in the hope that in the warm-up someone will pull a muscle and the coach will turn around and say, you'll do, come on down. You can play today. Let's stop being spectators and start being players, stepping into the game. Do you want to be part of the game on the largest stage in history, with the world looking on? Are you ready to pull on the colors of Christ and step out onto the pitch? God is looking for a very special people to change the world. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about getting a few folk to come to church and sing hymns. We're not talking about getting a couple of folk to go on an Alpha course. We're talking about changing the whole world. And he's looking for players and he's looking for partners. And the question is, will you accept the challenge? And will you and I step out onto the field? Finish with the game before the game. Step up, hear the whistle, and start. I do hope so. Amen. God said, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So go in the name and in the blessing of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's close our service by saying together the words of the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.